Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, The Truth Straight Up, brought to you by...
The show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Chinese Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine with Dr. Jack Schaefer, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Cenogenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan. I've got a great show coming up today, and this Happy Party Friday, by the way.
Yeah.
Scott Powell, we're going to get him in a second here. He has a... He's the author of, we've had him on before, he's great, Rediscovering America, Front Page Magazine. He's got a great column on why the heck is the Biden administration contemplating signing a treaty that would give the World Health Organization complete control over the United States in the event of a pandemic. I mean, what could go wrong with that, right?
No problem.
Then also, we're going to talk about, Chuck has dubbed them Obama's angels.
Sex women that control everything from the Justice Department to the intelligence community to the State Department and even special counsel operations.
That's right. All of them former Obama people, now all embedded essentially in the Biden White House.
They do what they want to do.
They do, exactly.
And they know what Obama wants, and so he does it. Whatever the most radical thing possible.
That's right. Okay, they're trying Scott's backup number. So we're trying to get Scott Powell. And then Tina Peters, the sort of besieged Mesa County, former Mesa County clerk, being prosecuted for
persecuted
and prosecuted for daring to question the election issues, or not even to question, but just to say, hey, let's just take a look, right?
Yeah,
she wasn't really questioning them. She said, well, let's just try to do an audit, so to speak. And as a result, has had three different cases slapped against her.
We're up Republican. District attorney up in Mesa.
That's right. So there's a verdict in one of the trials there. So we'll get to that later. But now we have with us Scott Powell. He's great. The author of Rediscovering America, Front Page Magazine. And he has a great column in there now. The WHO Pandemic Treaty, the backdoor to CCP control over America. Mm-hmm. Hey, Scott. Thank you for joining us on this Party Friday.
Really wonderful to be with you and your audience.
All right,
What's going on out there? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, there is. Well,
tell us about your column and
why on earth we're letting the World Health Organization have a say in anything.
Well, because we are in an epic battle between good and evil, and the evil side does not give up. The evil forces that go all the way back to Satan himself. They don't sleep. They continuously work to tear down what is good. America has been in the crosshairs of globalists that have wanted to take America down for decades, but it's now intensified to a point where our sovereignty is really being threatened. And it's being threatened, in this case, through the United Nations, through the World Health Organization. You'll remember that didn't you have questions when COVID-19 came and all these mandates began emanating without any legislative backing? They were just mandates coming from authorities, coming from the Centers for Disease Control, coming from NIH, Fauci, and others. We had rules sort of just put out there, and they were adopted state after state. Of course, there was some variation from state to state, but none of that had the power of the Constitution behind it. We just went along with it.
Right.
And the enemies of America studied our behavior, and they could see that we were a little bit like sheep, that we could be shut down. We could be controlled by an authority. Now, the World Health Organization also put out its direction for dealing with COVID-19. All of their, by the way, everything that they recommended, should have tipped people off that there was something really wrong there. I mean, remember what they did. They had misguided recommendations that included lockdowns and disruptions of holidays, school, church, synagogue, business closures, social distancing, masking, which retarded children's development. And all of this, I mean, not only did it lead to, you know, difficulties with families and retardation of kids, but in the bigger picture, it led to economic contraction, bankruptcies, supply chain disruption, and of course, inflation, which we're living with.
And of course, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Through a medical tyranny, they could bring about political control.
Yes.
So they recognized that if they could just aggrandize their reach with a new treaty, they could literally bring America under their thumb, and that's what they're attempting to do. And we have, you know, we have an illegitimate president who is compromised by the Chinese and others. And so we find, and you know, on issue after issue, we have a government against the American people.
Right.
I mean, why is our southern border totally open?
Right.
It's not for the American people.
No. Well, and on this, so what we're talking about specifically is, I mean, it's shocking to me that this is even being considered, let alone likely to be improved. So through the UN, the World Health Organization, there's a treaty that the United Nations countries are supposed to sign that basically would say in the event of another pandemic, which, of course, the World Health Organization is the one that would declare it, the World Health Organization essentially would take over America. They could dictate
the health systems. And everybody remembers that the CDC would give recommendations for almost every facet of life.
Right. And so they would dictate policies in the United States with apparently without necessarily the approval of the president, without any kind of vote by members of Congress or anything. Right. I mean, they would just have, I mean, how can, am I misstating that? Or is that pretty much how awful
it
is?
You're absolutely right. Now, the reality is that what is more disturbing about this than previous attempts to do similar things is the fact that President Biden and the people behind him, and it's not so much him, he's, you know, he's pretty checked out, but the people behind him who, you know, who are really the originators of policy and changes in policy, they know very well that this sort of agreement, it doesn't matter what it's called, you cannot subordinate the sovereignty and control of America without the Senate being involved, without it really falling into the treaty status. Remember, the only other things that require the subordination of the sovereignty of the United States to foreign powers are treaties. This is a treaty. They don't want to call it that, but they have willfully drafted this up so that it circumvents the approval by the Senate. And by the way, it's a two-thirds majority that has to be voted in the Senate for a treaty to go into effect.
Right. But they're circumventing that.
No, there's no way in hell they get two-thirds of the Senate to go along with surrendering the sovereignty of the United States.
What do they call it?
To a totally corrupt ordinance. Let me make it really clear. I want your listeners to understand we're dealing with a level of corruption in the world and in our own government that is unprecedented, and it threatens your life. The head of the WHO, his name is Tedros. Right. And let me tell you a little bit about Tedros. He has the profile of a tyrant, having been a member of the violent, powerful, and corrupt communist Ethiopian political party known as the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front. He rose through Ethiopia's autocratic regime, first as the health minister, and that's how he gets this sort of health status. He has the status to become the leader of the WHO because of that background. He's not a doctor, though. He's had no medical training. And then as a minister of foreign affairs from 2012 to 2016, he invited and facilitated the Chinese investment in Ethiopia.
Right.
And Ethiopia became a bridgehead to the Belt and Road Initiative throughout Africa. So the Chinese groomed him. They saw that he was a player, that he was on their side, and he would facilitate their takeover of Ethiopia, because that's really what the Chinese do through Belt and Road. They take over other countries. Now, as Ethiopia's foreign minister, Tedros, he had various investments Eventually, it was found that Ethiopia had reportedly borrowed more than $13 billion from China to facilitate the construction of office buildings and 8 industrial parks. So Ethiopia became indebted to China. China facilitated the choice of Tedros, this communist, to become the head of the World Health Organization because they could control him and control the organization, and the World Health Organization would become a major force to bring America under its subordination. Do you understand that? The Chinese are using the World Health Organization to control the United States, to undermine our country. I mean, we've all woken up to the vaccination regime.
Right.
These health policies are killing us.
Right. Well, and
they're weakening us. How's our military going to fight wars if they're all vaccinated?
Huh? Right. Well, and here's the thing. So back up. So it's not a treaty, but
what is it called?
It's an accord. It's an accord.
Oh, and so it looks like, though, I mean, this is what's astonishing to me. I mean, and obviously this is getting zero play in the corporate corrupt media, but it looks as if Biden is going to sign this, right? I mean, without asking anyone else about it.
Of course he's going to sign it because he was part of the drafting. I mean, he and his people, he's going to do what his people tell him to do, right?
Well, yes.
Because Joe Biden really can't figure out, he doesn't understand the nuances, of complex agreements. That is for sure. But what's troubling about this pandemic accord, that the Biden administration helped plan is that it is crafted to circumvent the authority and role of the U.S. Senate, which is to provide advice and consent to treaties by making the accord effective and legally binding immediately upon each nation's signature without being ratified by each country's respective legislatures.
So this is insanity.
It's designed to exempt, to just sign it, And then it's in place. So the next pandemic, which is coming, then gives full authorization for the WHO to step in and take control.
So bottom line then. So Biden is about to sign an accord that would give the demonstrably corrupt World Health Organization essentially the power to take over the United States and any other United Nations nation that signed this in the event of a pandemic. And the World Health Organization is the organization that would determine whether there was a pandemic or not and how long it lasted, right?
Yes.
So they could turn around and say,
let me tell you a little bit more.
It's worse.
because this is the agreement, calls for member states to implement a one health, and this is all in the document, you can read it, a quote-unquote one health surveillance, which is so broad that it can include environmental, climate, or even agricultural emissions to be used in claims that these emissions, be they CO2, methane, or nitrogen, pose a health emergency.
Yeah.
So you don't even need a pandemic.
Good.
You could declare that there's a health emergency because of the emissions of a nation. And we all know that they're going to use the agenda, the green agenda, to bring greater control over that sector of our economy.
And they're going to do surveillance, right? I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. So the court opens the door to information and ideological corruption, which comes out of the accord language, and I've read it. It says, and I'll quote it. It says it designs communications and messaging strategies for the public to counteract misinformation, disinformation, and false news, thereby strengthening public trust.
There you go. We're all set.
The government has been the main, and the World Health Organization contributor. But basically, then what a backdoor disaster this could turn into be. Because so, for instance, they could just say, well, we're coming up on mosquito season, and mosquitoes transfer West Nile, so we have a West Nile pandemic. Boom! Now we control the United States. Boom!
No, they'll wait. We're doing. They'll wait for the next big, big one.
You can make it up, and then
they won't
doing
do that. They'll wait. No, they won't do that. They'll wait for the next big one, which comes every four or five years.
Whether Trump is elected or not.
No, every 4 or 5 years. And then scare the hell out of everybody, show them.
But the point is, and then they could do surveillance on us. And then, of course, since the Biden administration has determined that misinformation, you could be a domestic terrorist for distributing that. I mean, we could see
Absolutely. What
we saw with YouTube.
You got it.
YouTube censorship.
We know what the playbook is. We've seen it already happening in our country. It's only going to be intensified, and it's going to be intensified with a foreign force
that has
the willing supplication of the American government. Of course, this is during the Biden years, but this is just preposterous. Trump took us out of the World Health Organization. Did you know that?
No.
I think I remember that.
He looked at it. He knew it's a corrupt body. They overstepped their bounds. They were anti-American. And he said, you know, we're not just leaving the World Health Organization. We're defunding it. Because we were the biggest funders, as we usually are, right?
Right.
He said, we're not paying an international body to work against us. Forget that. That's over. I mean, Trump, this is classic Donald Trump. He told the NATO members, look, we're not just going to send our boys over there and our troops and our equipment and protect you guys. You got to pay your fair share. You got to pay up.
To pay up, except now we've got the Ukrainian war, and who's the biggest contributor, bigger than all of EU and Britain combined, the U.S. So nothing's changed.
Well, and this is the kind of thing,
Nothing has changed.
This scheme, you know, and the World Health Organization, I mean, it sounds so nice, right? They care about your health. But what you're saying, too, is, which we've seen, is it's controlled by China. So not only these aren't nice little doctors and nurses who would be determining this, it would be China, who was our enemy, who would be determining whether
this is a political organization. This is intended to be a new level of medical tyranny, political medical tyranny, period. Do all your listeners understand that? If you do something about it.
Well, okay, that's my next question.
Your senators, and I know in California.
You know who our two senators are? You think they're going to do anything about it?
Those guys go
right into the round file.
What can be done about this?
Well, I think, frankly, we have enough people in Congress now that they're not going to allow the presidency.
Okay.
They're not going to allow this to go into force. They're not.
Okay.
This is crazy. I mean, this is so. This would be an unprecedented step at a time when we need, a reset of our constitution and law and order. We don't need to take one more step into Neverland with surrendering, our sovereignty to. Let me just put it in simple terms.
I'm glad you have that trust in Mitch McConnell and his minions, along with Chuck Schumer and the Democrats.
No, I don't think it's Mitch McConnell. It'll be others. think of the specter of disaster for Americans. Doesn't seem obvious that with a corrupt leader who is Joe Biden entering into an agreement with a corrupt institution.
What could go wrong?
Well, and we've seen what they did, the unelected bureaucrats did. And maybe the good news is, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, people would be like, oh, Scott, you're just being an alarmist now, right? It's conspiracy theorists. But we have seen everything they told us was true. The World Health Organization's Dr. Fauci, the CDC, turned out to be obviously and dangerously not true, including, the fact that now they're acknowledging that the COVID did come from a lab in China.
There's no consensus, blah, blah, blah.
But I think that it'll be much harder to fool the American people. And if they know, the more that people know this, I think the more that people are going to be like, wait a minute,
Just hope.
Well, yeah.
Well, the American people have got to recognize that this is Paul Revere time. And just as the founders of our country and our constitution, you can read it right in the the Constitution that they're willing, and the Declaration of Independence, that they're willing to give their lives, their fortunes, everything for the freedom of America.
And oh, those were just old white slave owners.
We have to have more of that attitude in our daily life.
Right. Well, and I could see in something like this, because as I understand it, this and these kind of issues, states' rights trump federal rights. And so I could see this,
that almost is never the case.
Which but and I could see a situation here again, which would be maybe a hopeful, you know, sort of, I guess, law preventing this from sweeping the country. I think you could see some states like Florida and some of the red states where the governors are going to say, no, we're not doing that here, which, you know. But again, who knows, right?
I'm in Florida, by the way. DeSantis would arrest representatives of the WHO trying to enforce an international treaty that's not it's not constitutional. He'd arrest them.
Yeah.
He'd put them on a plane back to where they came from.
Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, he'd send them to Martha's Vineyard.
He's not going to put up with that for a minute.
No. Well, there's some.
Well, maybe if the donor class takes them over, you will.
Well, still.
There's worry there. No, I'm with you. That's why I'm not just, you know, ready to say, hey, DeSantis is the right candidate for the 2024 election. Frankly, the more I listen to Donald Trump, the more I'm reminded what a remarkable man, what a courageous man, what an insightful man, what a truth teller he is. He understands the enemy. And he is determined to defeat the enemy. He names it now. Did you hear a speech from, I think, just yesterday or the day before? It's one of these policy speeches that he's giving. He's not doing the rally speeches, which
it's on economics.
They're fun. These are policy speeches.
Right.
And he described that America is now in a communist revolution.
Yeah.
Those were his terms. I'm not putting those terms in his mouth. He called what's going on in America a communist revolution. And its locus is in our government.
Yeah.
He said our government is peppered with traitorous people.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's interesting that while Trump is at CPAC, DeSantis has got his own crew of Griffin, Club for Growth, and all the donors are meeting another part of Florida. That doesn't look good.
Well,
that does not look good.
See.
Well, no, it doesn't look good. I mean,
it doesn't look good. You know, look. I don't know the details for the Club for Growth, but when I did follow that, I would have said, well, they're an economics, you know, free economics type organization, and I tend to favor that. But the problem now with many free market people, free market taken to its logical conclusion means free trade with everybody, you know, free trade with China. Well, look where that's gotten us.
Yes.
Right.
We're in a precarious position because of our dependency on China. And we've built up China into a superpower.
Yes.
We
yes.
did that.
Yes.
By our business, right?
Right.
Yep.
Well, hey, Scott, listen, I know you have to
and
go because you've got other shows.
Yes.
So we promised we would let you go. But before we do, I want to give you a chance to tell people about your great book, Rediscovering America, where they can find it and where they can find you.
Oh, you're so nice. Well, the book will never go. It'll never go out of style. It'll never be dated because the book is written about the key historical periods of America. And it turns out that they are the stories are encapsulated in the backstories of the various key all the holidays of our country. I include one more called Constitution Day, which is not a legitimate day off holiday, but it's September 17th when the Constitution was signed. So I tell the whole story about how that happened, how it almost failed, and how it was saved, and how the difficulties of ratification. It's an amazing book, and it's short. It's really designed for busy people who don't read books. It's only a little over 200 pages long, and each chapter is a standalone story about a key period in American history. You know, the problem with history for most people is historians, they just write chronologically what happened.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
everything blends together and you finish reading a history book. And I don't know how good they are. I mean, Cherno is a great history writer, but after you finished his book, you say, wow, that was interesting, but I really can't remember that much.
Right.
This
right.
book is powerful because you'll remember each story of the critical periods. And each story is a lesson about how we can solve our problems today, because the history of America was a series of solving insurmountable problems. And yet the qualities of character that various people had, whether it was Washington or Lincoln, remarkable. I mean, I tell the stories of MacArthur. And so I go beyond just the political class and really talk about the biggest picture of who really shaped America to be the nation that it was up until the 1960s, when we began going downhill, really.
All right. Sounds like a great book, and recommend it. And I assume you can buy it on all the...
You can find it on Amazon, and you can read the reviews there. Okay. So you can get a feel for it. You can read the advance acclaim by Victor Davis Hanson or Dennis Prager or Eric Metaxas and others who took the time to read a good part of the manuscript. So, you know, don't take my word for it. I'm the author. Of course, I'm going to promote it. Take other
You're biased, but some other people are not. Thanks so much. Great to have you on, and
okay,
God have you on again.
Thanks for taking the time, and I really look forward to doing it again.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. Thank you, guys. Everybody, that was Scott Powell. If you want to read the column, it's in Front Page Magazine, the World WHO Pandemic Treaty, the Backdoor to CCP Control over America. You know, and like I said, Chuck, there was a time, you know, probably 4 years ago, we've been like, oh, yeah, you know, the World Health Organization, they're not all that bad. They're not that dangerous. What can they really do? Yeah. And then we see what they can do, right? And we've seen that everything they told us
was a lie.
And those of us who
started... they knew it.
And they knew it, mm-hmm. and they didn't care. And those of us, like you guys and all of us, who started saying, wait a minute, what about natural immunity? Wait a minute. Do I need the vaccine? Is the vaccine more risk than the illness itself, et cetera, et cetera?
I wonder, it's just at the drugstore today, and they said, get your latest COVID boost. I don't think anybody was signing up.
To have children, in case you wanted to have
issues,
et cetera,
et cetera. Get the hell out of here early.
It was just not that. I mean, and we're going to play a montage here in a second. I mean, the most recent thing that came, the World Health Organization and China crushed the concept that this could have come out of China, even though it kind of made sense since it was appearing right next to the
Wuhan coronavirus lab. That's strange.
Worth asking the question, but no, if you ask the question, you are guilty of disinformation. You were banned, censored. Doctors couldn't question it. They'd lose their jobs. And they went on and on about how debunked that was. So we're going to talk about how, like, they're all the liars and they're the spreaders of misinformation. But Thomas, if we could please play the montage. This is the montage of the debunked being debunked.
Intel report saying that the U.S. Department of Energy has assessed that the source of the COVID-19 pandemic likely came from a China lab leak.
And then there's this theory, widely debunked, this paper from two Chinese researchers that says it is plausible that the virus leaked accidentally from one of two labs near the Wuhan seafood market.
Coronavirus was man-made in a lab in Wuhan, China. And yet this week, Donald Trump is still pushing the debunked bunkum, despite his own intelligence community's findings that is simply not true.
The Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked that this virus was man-made or modified or anything like that.
Tom Cotton a couple of days ago spouting a conspiracy theory that the Chinese made this virus up.
You have the lab in Wuhan.
In a lab, you have Rush Limbaugh every day, Presidential Medal, Freedom of Honor. It's hard to say this is the most reckless thing he's ever done.
Those same agencies now have been tapped with investigating one of Trump world's most favorite conspiracy theories. New York Times reports this, quote, senior Trump administration officials have pushed American spy agencies to hunt for evidence to support an unsubstantiated theory that a government lab in Wuhan, China was the origin of the coronavirus outbreak.
Tom Cotton, one of Donald Trump's staunchest allies in the Senate, suggested that the virus might have originated in a high-security biochemical lab in China. In the 1980s, I remember when the far left trafficked in rumors about HIV having been invented in CIA labs. The far right has now found its own virus conspiracy theory.
It's like another conspiracy theory that in the end turned out to be true.
I love Morning Joe.
He's great now.
He's so pompous and arrogant and self-assured and bombastic and always wrong. He's just great.
And then let's read some of the comments from before about Steve. Scott Powell, this from Stephen. It's all part of Obama's fundamental transformation of America. None of this is an accident. Exactly. And from Jim, is there any precedent for a president to sign an accord like this? Probably. Not like this, I don't not think. Like I don't this. I don't think there's.
They don't need one.
They don't need a president. I mean,
new world.
Well, I think they're hoping that they could sneak it through, right? I mean, you aren't hearing about this anywhere else. So we just let me bring that up to you. We'll keep you posted on what happens with it. Hopefully somebody will step up and fight it. And again, if not, then hopefully we'll have to move to Florida or someplace where they...
Not Colorado, where they won't. Well, I wanted to go. It seems appropriate now because right. Scott was talking.
Can I just...
Yeah, sure. Jump in, Jacob.
Hi, just... Why doesn't Mitch McConnell. Why doesn't McCarthy just drag all these reporters and all these anchor people in front of them and say, you know, and do what was her name, McElhaney, the spokesperson for Trump?
Yeah, Kayleigh McEnany.
Uh-huh. Right, she used to put her in front of them. She used to go side by side on the screen in the press room.
Oh, that's right.
Why doesn't McCarthy do the same thing? You said it was debunked. And here's the proof. Now, what do you say?
Right. You wish he would. They wouldn't show up, right? They would scream about violating their First Amendment rights, even though they don't support the First Amendment in certain circumstances. But you're right. You wish that.
I'm sure there are laws that say that you can't go out and scream fire in a theater, and you can't scream and say, "Well, we're stopping this treatment and that treatment because we think that it's not like the hydroxychloroquine."
Right.
Just bring them in front of Congress and explain. And just say what you have to say. That's all.
That's a really good point, McCarthy. I know they're doing a lot of stuff, but you're right. I think that's something they should, when they're done looking into the Twitter, all of the deep
and
state
get the January 6th tapes and various other ones.
Well, okay, so that's one side. Just drag what's his name, Morning Joe, in front of Congress and let him make a fool of himself.
Exactly.
He's not going to turn down a subpoena.
No, we should write a letter to McCarthy and say, you should do this. Expose these clowns for the clowns that they are.
They're gone, Morning Joe.
Now, none of them would cover that live, of course. But
No, but I'm just saying, they always say they're going to do, but they never do it.
No.
Or they say, this was bad enough. Do something about it.
No, because that's a good point.
People are going to get upset, and then they're going to get, I don't know the right word, but they're going to just, don't bother with me, and I'm not going to vote for you, and
right.
They're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yep.
And then we'll have another Democratic Congress. That's all.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
McCarthy is worthless. Jim Jackson, Leo. McCarthy is McConnell Light. He is.
Well, that kind of leads us into, though, you wanted to talk about what Chuck has dubbed Obama's angels. And these are the people really running the U.S. right now.
Yeah. There's a series of women, five women, who worked with Obama closely and came into the new administration or carried over into the new administration, and they control all facets. Lisa Monaco is the deputy of Department of Justice. She's the one who ordered that the FBI must invade Mar-a-Lago.
She's also behind the memo that said that the FBI needs to target parents who were complaining at school boards.
And also the one that said we have to go against people who like Latin mass because they're radical.
Right. She's behind all of that.
Then you got Victoria Nuland, who we all know from the
impeachment,
but not so much that as the Russiagate whole thing. She's the one who engineered the Maidan revolution in Ukraine in 2014 and threw out all Democratic ones. And she's famous for that. And she's been got back into the State Department once Trump left. We got Avril Haines, who's running the intelligence community. She's the head of the DNI. And she has control over all the intelligence ones in theory. You got Samantha Power, the redheaded, crazed Obamaite, who's running USAID, and that sounds like nice, but it's one who gets together with Soros organizations to overthrow conservative governments. And finally, you have Mary McCord, another one in the Justice Department, and she's running the Jack Smith special counsel operation. Those women do not take their orders from Biden. He
or any of the cabinet people, right?
They're always one down.
Right.
You got to be one down so no one really notices you. So when they were interrogating Merrick Garland,
Josh Hawley,
he should have brought out Lisa Monaco, because she's the one who does
it's a terrible place. So this was just the other day when Josh Hawley was kind of grilling Merrick Garland about all kinds of things in the FBI, and they were asking him about the raid on Trump's house, and Josh Hawley was quoting a Washington Post article that said that the FBI actually did. And now who knows who you can believe here, right? I mean, if the FBI didn't want to, they could have just said, no, we're not going to. They could have gone to Ray, and Ray could have gone. They're not robots, but the FBI, according to the Washington Post,
they probably would have found agents who would do it. Okay, right. You won't do it.
They didn't want to raid it because they thought, look, that's too combative. We've got other stuff going on. And he was trying to grill Merrick Garland. And so this is from the conservative treehouse from which we steal liberally. He said, just listen to this soundbite and keep in mind the fact that Merrick Garland isn't running things any more than Robert Mueller was running things, any more than Jeff Sessions was running things, right? That it is these Obama angels who are, like you said, just one down, and they're the ones really in control. Susan Rice, all of these people are the ones really in control. So if we could please play the Garland soundbite. Keep this in mind as you listen to this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attorney General Garland, you said in our last exchange that it's your practice to defer to FBI agents in the field when it comes to investigations, apprehensions of subjects. I was interested, given your answer, to read in this morning's Washington Post that the FBI is saying that you overruled them when it came to raiding ex-President Trump's personal residence. Washington Post reports this morning, showdown before the raid, that senior FBI officials who would be in charge of leading the search resisted doing so as too combative, and proposed and said to seek Trump's permission to search his property. These field agents wanted to shutter the criminal investigation altogether in early June, the Post reports, but they were overruled by Maine DOJ. So I guess in light of your earlier testimony just this morning, my question is, how often do you overrule FBI field agents for political purposes?
I've skimmed that article. That's not an accurate reflection of what the article says, and I'm not able to comment on the investigation. My comment earlier was about tactics on the ground in particular cases.
Wait. You said it's not I'm reading to you from the article. Quote, senior FBI officials who would be in charge of leading the search resisted the plan as too combative and proposed instead to seek Trump's permission to seek his property, according to four people who spoke on condition of anonymity to describe a sensitive investigation, end quote.
Again, I have to say I'm not able to describe the investigation. I will say as a general matter and at a high level of generality that in my experience, long experience as a prosecutor, there is often a robust discussion. And in the end, and it's encouraged among investigators and prosecutors.
Attorney General, my time is very
made.
Yes, and you made the decision.
I did. That's
right. You said you did.
No, I'm sorry. What I said was I approved the decision.
So you didn't make the decision to raid?
I approved the decision to seek a search warrant after probable cause was
overruling the FBI agents who did not want to do so. Did you talk about this with the White House
the
beforehand?
Memorandum.
But Josh Hawley, he did a great job there. What he missed was the key word. He actually, Merrick Garland was telling the truth there, I believe. He did not make the decision. He approved the decision.
Of Lisa Monaco.
Which, leads to the question, well, who then made the decision? And when you go through everything that's going on, it comes down to Lisa Monaco, who basically is an Obamaite, an Obama angel, still running things at the Department of Justice. And so, that's a thing in a way. I think that's why nobody cares that much that Joe Biden, a few people do in the Democrat side, is senile, that he won't be able to handle it. So they don't care because he's just a figurehead and he can roam around and make all the dumb speeches he wants and say, make all the gaffes and say everything. And no one cares because he's not running things, right? And I think that's important. And so you got to, now the question is what's Obama's deal, right? We were talking about this earlier.
I'm sure his old buddies and acolytes talk to him and he calls them up and they want his advice and that he can't call Joe for his advice. I mean, he's senile,
right.
But Obama's not senile. So I'm sure I'm sure there are lots of calls from all these Obama angels and Obama.
Right.
And really, there should be a lot more people pointing out that Obama is behind everything.
Right.
Attacking Joe is okay, but he's a senile fool.
Right. And here this is from Stephen Obama and Susan Rice are running the show. Exactly. Charlene points out key people and key position. And Charlene says, but who's behind Obama? That's what we're getting at. And Charlene, what I think is that Obama, I mean, he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States
into a shithole.
Obama and the World Economic Forum people, these globalist elites, they're all on the same page, right?
Yeah, Wall Street.
We don't know if they have Zoom meetings, although I'm going to back up a second. Just a second, because I was going to say, I don't know if they have Zoom meetings to discuss this, but do you remember that Time magazine article right after the election where they were talking about the fact that they did have Zoom meetings where they discussed how to make sure that Trump didn't get elected? It was a cabal of guys or people, not necessarily guys, women in there too.
Women, women too.
Susan Rice was listening in. Yeah. So they did actually have meetings where they discussed this. So I don't know that Obama is being run. I just think Obama is part of this whole cabal of people who want to fundamentally transform the world in a way that benefits them and makes the rest of us live in little cottages where the utilities company can turn the heat off if they think we're using too much and make us eat bugs, you know?
Yeah, well, this is what Charlene says, but who's behind Obama? Obama groomed by WEF, probably.
Right. Well, and I'm not even groomed, or I think it anymore. Obama's probably powerful enough because he's got everybody in place, right? I don't think Klaus Schwab is calling Susan Rice. But
No, you're wrong. Klaus Schwab said, you know, all over the world, he can call up world leaders directly and have quote unquote conversations with them, including local governments, state governments, everything. So if you don't think they're talking to good old Klaus, you're wrong.
You know, and I think that kind of debunks the idea that Michelle Obama is going to run for president, because why would they want to do that? Right. I mean, they want all of this.
She'd have her own views on things.
Right. Exactly. And she might not, you know, then what will these women all do? Right. I think then, you know, Obama needs to be behind the scenes of this and these women. And so they do that. So you throw, you know, Merrick Garland goes before this hearing and he looks like an idiot and he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing because he doesn't. But then meanwhile, Lisa Monaco was writing another memo saying, hey, let's go, you know, arrest some more Christians who have Latin masses because
it was clearly, Latin masses.
That leads to terror.
Always
I think it's good. I mean, as things go on, and the Conservative Treehouse, I cannot recommend that site enough, does a great job of sort of peeling back the curtains so you can see really what's going on. And I think, you know, before I was reading that, I thought, no way is Biden going to run again. I think he may run again. They don't care. What if they get a new person in who doesn't like these, you know what I mean? Then they have to train everybody all over again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've shown that as a candidate, Biden does not have to run. He just stayed in the basement while they rigged the votes,
right?
And say that we are election deniers.
Well, and this is Stephen. He says George Soros and Klaus Schwab are running Obama. Obama learned, Alinsky's playbook from Bill Ayers. And Leo said, I had not heard about the Latin massing. We'll check that out. FBI had designated
radical traditionalist
Catholics, which means they
and they specifically said who want Latin masses
like somehow as being dangerous. And I mean, they're now terrorists, even worse potentially than parents at school board meetings.
Well, so it's close,
which is worse. Yeah. And then that all came out, and then it's, you know, they say, oh, sorry, but they're not sorry. They've got a whole task force. I mean, I don't know. Have they disbanded the FBI task force that was in charge of deciding what to censor on Twitter? I don't think so. Right. I mean, they're just censoring stuff in other places, or maybe a Twitter.
They did not censor. They just suggested whether these people had violated the rules of conduct of Twitter itself. It was just a helpful.
And this from Charlene, how Latin masses lead to riots. Exactly, Charlene. They lead to all kinds of bad things. They lead to people protesting in front of abortion clinics and other horrible, horrible things like that. So so that's the thing with Obama's angel. So we'll keep an eye on that. We've got a few minutes left. Want to talk about the Tina Peters.
Yeah, Tina Peters had a split verdict, which is bad for defendants. She got found innocent of obstructing justice, but was found guilty.
She was found let's see, she was acquitted on the obstruction of a peace officer, six of one, half dozen of another, you're right, and guilty of obstruction of government operations.
Yes, whatever that means.
Well, so, I mean, the whole thing, so that's, here's the background. So you all know that Tina Peters has been constantly persecuted and prosecuted for trying to figure out whether essentially the voting machines in Mesa County were accurate or not accurate. So she's facing criminal charges. And when you read the news stories, they all talk about tampering and things like that. Nothing like that happened. What happened is, allegedly, when you read it, she had somebody allegedly pose as an employee to be in the room where the machines were when they were looking at the machines. Nobody touched anything. Nobody did anything. But anyway, she's facing.
And lots of charges that she talked to the Secretary of State's office and was right. Therefore.
And questioned them. So there's all kinds of it's all a bunch of
rigged judicial system.
We've lost
all hope in all institutions. I believe in nothing anymore.
Well, and so what happened then is it's sort of like with the General Flynn case and these fake grand juries, right, where they bring you in and they ask you a bunch of questions and you answer one that has nothing to do with anything and somebody else gives a different answer and all of a sudden you're charged with perjury, right? So they were holding a hearing and Tina Peters had an iPad in the courtroom and the judge alleges that she was recording the proceedings, which if you haven't filed an expanded media request is a violation of the court rules, happens
all the time,
including him
all the time.
Most people don't know that they can't do it, so they may, you know, for whatever reason turn their
particularly with cell phones anymore. Yeah. Exactly. And normally what happens is that the judge or the bailiff tells them tells you if you do it again they'll kick you out of the courtroom.
Yeah.
But in this case they decided to criminally prosecute Tina Peters on it, and then when they went to show up to grab her iPad, she said it's not my iPad, Tammy Bailey's, which it turns out, according to Harvey Steinberg, her own lawyer, was an alias that she used. And then remember, there was a little kerfuffle with the cops when they were arrested. When they were detaining her, essentially, yeah. They didn't, right? So after a 2-day trial, what the jury decided, and I think you're right, I think this is sort of a split compromise verdict. They said, okay, we're not going to find her guilty of obstructing the police officer. We're going to find her guilty of obstructing justice, government operations, for essentially saying she wasn't going to give the password to her iPad. I mean, that's essentially what this is. And for that, she could go to jail for 6 months and face a $750 fine. The other issues that we talked about are two other cases that she still has pending. But the whole thing, it's just wrong. They shouldn't have been holding a hearing in the first place. They shouldn't have been trying to grab her iPad in the first place. All of these are like weird procedural charges that would have never occurred if the justice system worked the way it was supposed to.
Steve believes that Tina Peters would have been better off not continually talking and pissing everyone off and let her lawyer do her talking. Well, she is a citizen. She does get to say she's being persecuted. Lawyers do not do much talking, and Harvey Steinberg wouldn't do much talking. I mean, this is a political persecution.
Yes, Stephen, I understand what you're saying. But on the other hand, this is a tactic. Look, I mean, the Justice Department just said that cleared the way for people, anybody who wants to sue Donald Trump for January 6th, right? Not Nancy Pelosi, not the Capitol Police, not anybody like that, but Donald Trump.
Let me ask you, what does the Justice Department have the right to tell people? The Justice Department does not determine you can bring a civil suit.
No.
It's just their way of encouraging.
Exactly.
To sue for it. I mean, they don't want to do it,
right?
Because they can't bring the civil one.
Some Capitol Hill police officer who cried and cried. But so
or Stephen, the one that killed the woman, you know.
Stephen, normally I would say you were right, but these are not normal times, and I think if you they use it's lawfare, right? They use the justice system and the criminal justice system to try to shut people up. You're absolutely right. Tina Peters has explained that if she would have signed a document that just said, "I'm sorry, I'm never going to say anything mean about Jenna Griswold again," all of this would have gone away. It all would have gone away. And they're punishing her for refusing to be silent. And I think, you know, God bless her, frankly, for deciding that she wouldn't, right? Because it certainly would have been easier for her to do it.
Right.
And you're right. She wouldn't have got convicted because it would have dropped it. But if she didn't keep saying things, where would we be? And what would happen the next time, right? I think we passed the point where you can say, okay, I'm just going to shut up because that would be easier and the trouble will go away. Because the trouble won't go away, you know. Mm-hmm. It may go away for you, but it'll come back for the next person, don't you think?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, everybody's telling Marjorie Taylor Greene to shut up about the national divorce. I guess Michael Steele, who's about as Democrat or Republican former chair as Dick Wadhams. And you know, people don't want to shut up anymore. And the system stinks. And if you're called for jury duty, you should acknowledge and understand the system stinks.
Actually, I was called for jury duty. I got a letter the other day in Westminster. So maybe I'll say that. Maybe I'll push a jury nullification issue. Yeah, no. Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Hey, anyway, that's going to wrap it up. Got a bunch of great comments here. Yeah. But wanted to update you on that. On Monday. On Monday, we have Christine Bowman is coming on. She is up in Fort Collins. And you may not know this, but there's actually a
biolab up there. Your local biolab.
Biolab. And they want to expand it.
Into the neighborhood. Let the kiddies have some.
Into the neighborhood. And
and they're going to add a wet market.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be nice. I mean, there are no live wet markets in Colorado, so they're going to add that as part of it.
Idiot people like Kyle Clark have slammed this woman and her organization for spreading debunked conspiracy theories about possible lab leaks. Well, the laugh's on them, right? The joke's on them. The
joke's always on Kyle Clark.
Yeah,
Clark is the joke.
It's like they make fun of these people. Like, there's no way that there could be a lab leak. Well, maybe so. Anyway, we're going to have her on and she'll talk about that. So in the meantime, everybody, thank you to the great guys at BBS, to Scott Powell, to everybody on Zoom. Remember, catch all our shows at chuckandjulie.com.
And we'll see you on Monday. Take care.
Meanwhile, we're going to go Party Friday.
Party Friday.
There we go.